Hello, neighbor. You're tuned in to the Westwood Gospel Time with Pastor Walt Lanier of the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida. This week, we're continuing our look at the book of Revelation as we continue our study through God's precious word. Here's Pastor Walt Lanier taking the Bible as it is to people as they are.
At Jewish wedding then in the days of Christ, he would pay the purchase price. They would agree on it. Jesus paid the price for us, his shed blood on Calvary. Once the bridegroom paid the price, the marriage covenant was established and the young man and woman were regarded as husbands and wife. Again, refer you back to Matthew 1, 18 and 19, where Joseph and Mary were already married, were already espoused. They were already married. That's why he was going to put her away. He was going to divorce her, okay? Even though they hadn't come together yet. Legally, in Jewish law, they were married. And as a symbol of this covenant relationship, the bride and the groom drank from a cup of wine, pledging their faithfulness one to another. In other words, he paid the price. They agree that they're husband and wife, and to seal that covenant, if you will, they drank from a cup. Literally what they're doing, they're pledging their faithfulness one to another. Next Sunday night, we're going to observe the Lord's Supper. Just an announcement, okay? We hadn't had it in a few months, but next Sunday night, we're going to observe the Lord's Supper and drink of the cup. Now, we're not drinking wine, drinking the fruit of the vine, okay? But anyway, that's a whole other story. But we'll be drinking of the fruit of the cup and the unleavened bread. There's a lot here, and again, time won't allow. But you see the picture here. They drank of that to pledging their faithfulness one to another. After the covenant was established and they pledged their faithfulness one to another, the groom left the home of the bride and went to his father's home to prepare a place for her. Are we on the same page? Sound kind of familiar? He ascended to heaven and he says, I'm preparing a place for you. Okay, he's preparing a place for her. While they were separated, here's the important part I wanted you to get to about the bride hath made herself ready. While he was gone, preparing a place for her to live, while they were separated, the bride begins to gather her trousseau, which is her wedding garment, and prepared for married life. Now, the ladies know what I mentioned about a trousseau. She would begin to sew her wedding garment and how she would prepare it. Again, the wife hath made herself ready. He leaves. He's preparing a place for her. While he's preparing a place for her, she's staying faithful to him. Are y'all following the analogy? And while she's waiting for that, for him to come get her, are y'all following? She's doing some things here. And one of the important things is preparing her wedding garment. She is sewing it, making it clean and pure, just so that white, anyway, we'll go a little before that. But she's doing this while the husband is preparing a place. At an unspecified time, normally, traditionally, it was about 12 months. During this time would be about 12 months. It's been longer than that since Jesus has left us, but still it's an unspecified time. And it was normally at night. The groom would come unannounced. In other words, he wouldn't send her an email or text, hey, I'm on my way, you know. He would come unannounced, bringing with him an entourage, And when they come to the gate of the house of the father where the bride's living there, they would sound a trumpet. That sound awful familiar to y'all? And announce his coming. Well, the groom would return to take the bride away to live with him in the home that he had prepared for her. Although the bride was expecting her groom to come for her, she did not know the timing of his coming. She just knew he was going to be here. She needed to be ready. And if she wasn't ready for that wedding day, in other words, her garment wasn't prepared and she wasn't ready, she and the groom would both be ashamed. It would be a shame if he shows up and her wedding dress is half done. Or, you know, are y'all following some analogy here? We're going to get into this next week. I want to lay some groundwork for you, okay? She and the bridegroom would be ashamed if he would take her away back, because they've already done this. They're already married. He'd take her back to live with him. After the groom received his bride together with the female attendants, She had a wedding party. He had a wedding party. He brought one with him. When she leaves, she takes some attendants with her. And they would go to the father's house. The whole entourage would go back there. Are y'all kind of seeing a parallel? Okay. After he received the bride, together with the female's attendants, the wedding party returned to the groom's father's house, where the wedding guests are already assembled. They were waiting on them. There were people already there waiting on them. The bride and the groom would enter into the huppah chamber. Now, the huppah chamber is what's called the bridal chamber. Again, I'll never forget when years ago when we went to Israel, that we had and I was studying this years ago, we had a Jewish guide that would take us through Israel, and I forget his name. What is his name? You remember his name? Anyway, I was sitting, because I always ride in the front of the bus. If I go on a plate trip with y'all, I'm getting the front, because I get car sick. If I ride in the back of the bus, you could forget it. So I got to ride right in the front, you know. So I'm, matter of fact, the kids, my brothers and sister used to be mad at me. We had a family of four with mom and dad. There were six of us, and I would always get in the front seat with the air conditioner blowing on. So that was in the old days when, if they had air conditioner, there wasn't no air conditioning in the back, you know, and I'd sit in the front and air blowing, and my brothers and sister get mad at me because I'm sitting in the front. But the truth of it, I'd get sick if I rode in the back, and that wouldn't be pleasant. Anyway, I'm riding right behind our guide, and I asked him, I said, Yuri, is it Yuri? I think it was Yuri, something like that. I said, Yuri, tell me about the huppah chamber, H-U-P-P-A-H. And as soon as I said that, he had a big old smile on his face, the huppah chamber. And it's called huppah because it sounds just like what takes place there. Huppah, huppah, they have a good time in there, you know. They're just married. And they go into the huppah chamber, the bridal chamber, and they consummate their marriage. Remember, they've not come together yet. And in that huppah chamber, the first thing they do, they go in there. The wedding guests are waiting outside. They go into the chamber. They consummate the marriage, and the bridegroom comes out. By the way, before she goes into the huppah chamber, the bride remains veiled so that no one could see her. Why is that so important? Remember the story about Jacob and Leah? This is the way the Jewish weddings took place. Jacob wanted Rachel, but wasn't it Laban? Well, he was a trickster. He was something else. Jacob worked 7 years for Leah, and the dad tricked him by putting Leah in the place, and Jacob didn't know because she was covered up. Can you imagine that? Wake up the next morning, literally, and Jacob looked over at Leah in the next morning, and, I thought you were Rachel. Well, how do you think that made Leah feel? Part of my chopped liver, you know? I mean, anyway, because she was veiled, okay? They go into the huppah chamber. She's veiled. They consummate the marriage. He comes out, and you've heard the story, and it's true in most cultures, that he would bring out the sheets. They have blood on them. And you know what that would mean? It would show that she was true and faithful to him, that, yes, she was a virgin. She was a chaste virgin. And he would show it. She was faithful to me. She was faithful to me. They'd celebrate. And he went back in to the bridal chamber for 7 days. We talk about the tribulation. It's interesting. 7 days while the guests stayed outside for 7 days celebrating the wedding feast. It's interesting. Upon receiving the good news, the wedding guests remained in the father's house for the next 7 days, celebrating the great wedding feast. During the 7 days of the wedding feast, the bride and the groom remained hidden in the huppah chamber, for 7 days. Afterwards, the groom came out of the chamber bringing his bride with him, but this time with her veil removed so that everybody could see her.
You've been listening to the Westwood Gospel Time with Pastor Walt Lanier of the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida. Tune in next time as we continue our study through God's precious Word. And come visit us this Sunday, August 21st, for special guest speaker, Polk County Sheriff Grady Judd. Sheriff Grady Judd will be with us August 21st at 11 a.m. at the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church. You won't want to miss it. We hope to see you there. Well, from now until tomorrow, may God bless you richly, is our prayer.